Hello and welcome to On and Off the Pitch podcast. We are back for the latest round. I have my pieces of paper in front of me, the last round of games. We're going to start with Manchester United and their last home game. A number of things. Don't blame the keeper, the Ron Atkinson years, and looking beyond Alex Ferguson. These are all of the things that I thought would be quite funny to say at the beginning of this little podcast. Manchester United are only as good as the team that they last beat. So the last win that they had was against Southampton, a team which is bottom of the league. That's where they're at right now. There was an expectation about them playing Brighton and winning this game and having all of the points. But historically, in the last few years, and it's a funny thing about history, some people kind of skip years to get to a certain point and they ignore what happened recently or previously. Brighton have always played good football. Brighton do play good football. Being aware and wary of Brighton and their ability to play good football was what happened in this last fixture. Manchester United would lose by 3-1. We don't need to name the scorers for Brighton. Let's just say that Brighton did a, and this is not to cause any dis, you know, not to disrespect Brighton. You know, you can do that Google search yourself, but this is primarily about the expectation levels that fans have, and I said history, which is one of the key words for me. I always felt that this game was going to be a tricky game, and the Southampton game was going to be okay. They would win. Brighton have been pretty good this season, pretty decent, played pretty decent football, if I can get my P's out. Poor performance is one of them. And that's definitely Manchester United. They are where they are. They're an average team. Right? This is where Manchester United are. And the reason I mentioned looking beyond Alex Ferguson, when it's historical, everyone talks about Alex Ferguson. Oh, he was great. Before Alex Ferguson, there was Ron Atkinson and a few others. And these are the kind of performances that Manchester United historically would put out, right? They would have a good win one week, and then they'd have a poor performance the next 2 weeks. Or they'd have 2 good weeks or 3 weeks, and then they would have a poor performance against a team that they disregarded and disrespected. In terms of the personnel and the makeup of the team, and a lot's been said about Amorim not having enough time to work with the players on the pitch in terms of training. What a load of trash. That's a piss take. What do you mean you don't have enough time? What are you doing every day? I don't understand that kind of alibi. He doesn't have enough time. Well, what do footballers do when they're not training? Seriously, come on. Got enough time. The resource is there. And I mean, I feel for him. I'm not saying that he's a bad manager. I think he's a good manager, but the realities of this job is that Manchester United are an average team. They're an okay team. They're not a great team. They're not a good team. They're average. They've got a lot of expensive players on their books, and they don't have a system. Manchester United, historically, for many managers now, whether it was Mourinho, whether it was Ole, whether it was Erik ten Hag, whether it was Ralf Rangnick, they have been a counter-attacking team. They don't boss the game in midfield. They don't have the personnel. They don't have runners in the middle of the park that can go run beyond the forward line. They rely primarily on wingers, and their midfielders will pass the ball in decent patterns of play. Decent. Whereas Brighton have a mixture of things. They have runners from the middle, they have runners from the wide areas, they have an awareness of what it is to be in front of goal. These are all of the things that Brighton have with this team that people disregard, and Manchester United, who everyone says should be there, they do not have. So this is a reality check. Manchester United are right now back in the Ron Atkinson era. That's it. You know, some people saying, oh, it's the worst we've seen. They're not relegated. That'll be worse. And it's happened. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there has been worse. The reality for Manchester United fans and the hierarchy that have spent a lot of money on players is that they are where they are. They are just good enough to beat Southampton, and not good enough to beat Brighton at home. That's it. You cannot say anything more. That is the reality of it. And I'm smiling because I just think to myself, well, look, you can't, there are people who are genuinely upset about Manchester United because all this, like, even here, this podcast, you talk about them, it's like, yeah, you got to talk about them because, you know, everyone says that they've got to do this and they're going to be great and they're going to be, people are talking about them. The reality is, this is where they are. Cannot make it up. You know, not a very good day for Manchester United or a very good weekend for Manchester United men. Very good weekend for Manchester United women who are doing bits in the WSL, smashing Manchester City up in the derby. Good today. But for the men, not so good. Not having a good time at all. And don't blame the keeper. I believe if he didn't make that mistake, Brighton probably would have scored a third goal anyway. They would have scored a third goal anyway. And the reliance on Ahmad, for all of the skills and the promise that this young player has, he can't do it on his own. And in terms of Xerxes or Hoyland or Xerxes, you know, I think at one point the manager's going to have to be really brave and play both of them together. I know they're probably saying, oh, you know, we can't do that. We don't have enough strikers. I get it. The Rashford thing, let's park that to one side. He's on his way out. You cannot count on him. But the realities are, I think those two players, that they're calling out for each other that they need a partnership. They need to be a partnership. And for Manchester United to do that, if that is an option that they're prepared to take, maybe, maybe not, they're going to have to sacrifice someone in midfield, probably a wide player. Probably a wide player and bulk up the middle so that they have more bodies so that they can actually have control and get the ball to the two strikers up top. That will probably come about in a game where no one expects and they say, oh my God, they're trying something new and novel. The realities are those options are already there. Whether or not the manager is prepared to take them is something else. So that's that. The only good thing that Manchester United fans can be happy about this weekend in the last round of games is that they're above Spurs. Because at some point in this season, Manchester United were the new Spurs. But now Spurs have actually said, no, we are the old and new Spurs. So they can rest easy because it was troubling to be that kind of, you know, roller coaster-ish performance. One week good, one week bad. It's troubling. Enough of those two. Brighton, well done. Thumbs up. Manchester United. And Liverpool, right? I have to go on to Liverpool. Liverpool's Darwin moment. That's the moment I've written that Darwin moment or moments. Keeping the dream alive. So many words have been offered about this striker who has failed to do. They spent a lot of money on people. Teams are spending a lot of money on players, 70 million, 50 million, to score goals. And he scored two goals in a game which looked like it was going to be a draw in injury time. Those goals kept the dream alive for Liverpool. Almost said Manchester United there, slip of the tongue. Kept the dream alive for Liverpool so they stayed top. But it also kept the dream alive for Darwin Nunez, who probably thinking, where do I fit into this team? How do I get into this team and be the number nine that they spent a lot of money for? You know, I need to deliver. I need to be more composed and calm in front of goal. Those two goals will help his confidence and obviously get the fans on his side, and they'll think more of him and kinder about him. Like kinder thoughts towards him, should I say? But one of the things that I think that's and this might come really left field. I think Salah moving on from Liverpool will probably be very, very, very beneficial for Liverpool and for Darwin Nunez if he stays. I think for your winger to take all the praise all the time and everyone to be talking about him because he scores so many goals is a great thing, but he's not. Salah isn't Liverpool. And Liverpool have always had great strikers, but they've always had a team ethos. And I think the Salah era is coming to an end. And I'm so glad that it was Nunez that got those goals and it wasn't Salah because you wouldn't hear the end of it. Because what would happen then is that you would get the standard parroted, oh, you need to give him a pay rise. Man's on 350 grand a week. Christ, he hasn't found a cure for cancer. He's just kicking a ball. anyway. And I think if he moves on, wherever that is, and I do like him as a player, I think it will help Darwin Núñez settle in. I think sometimes it takes 2 years. And I think it will help him settle in, definitely. So good for him, good for Liverpool, not so good for Arsenal. And we'll get to Arsenal just after this break. See you shortly. Where is it? Where's the pause button?
It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
Oh, we're back. Yeah, I'm still here. Arsenal. What can I say? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. But the pressure of not having a striker is definitely something that the Arsenal hierarchy management team must be feeling, because everyone, and I mean everyone, was talking about how they needed a striker during the summer. And they didn't go that way, and it's looking like it's going to cost them, because considering the game that Liverpool played in the weekend, where they just about in injury time got the 3 points, two goals from Darwin Núñez, that Arsenal needed to win this game. Now the pundits would have had this game as a definite win. They would have said, "Yep, 3 points in the bag." Historically, they've viewed this fixture as a gimme for the Arsenal football club against Aston Villa. But there's something about Aston Villa that says you don't play us and get away with it. And Unai Emery, he doesn't get enough respect. He doesn't get enough respect. When he was Arsenal's manager, he didn't get the respect. And I think now that he's at Aston Villa, and the Aston Villa fan base can see what work he's doing with the players that he has at his disposal, not the same budget, but a really big club, and they're playing some really good football. And for Arsenal to lose the lead that they had at the weekend and only come out with a draw, it says that they're buckling under the pressure, not so much of chasing Liverpool. And they're probably thinking about how is it that they're not further ahead, considering how poor a season Manchester City are having, because they're having to do a whole major rebuild. That's like someone saying we need a new kitchen and a new bathroom all at the same time, and we want it done in 3 weeks. Arsenal had it within their own grasps to go and get a striker. Osimhen was available. Osimhen was available. Didn't go and get him. It didn't go and get him. And what can I say? It's something that they're going to actually come back to, and they're going to regret. They're going to absolutely regret not getting this player when they should have got him. So Arsenal are buckling under the pressure, and they're going to have a good second half of the season, but it's going to be really, really difficult for them to continue to do what they've been doing and do it well. It's going to be really difficult for them to continue what they're doing and doing it well. Again, for Aston Villa fans, must be tickled pink with the result. No, but actually, you're probably really upset that you didn't win the game. That's how confident Aston Villa fans are right now, because they're playing some good football, and they've got two strikers who know how to score, definitely. Away from Arsenal, away from Aston Villa, Spurs. Now, there was a time not too long ago that I actually had the belief that Spurs were in a better position than Manchester United, because they were in this roller coaster of playing well, and then not having a very good fixture afterwards, and then playing well, then not having another good fixture, and the manager being steadfast in his decision not to change the way. And you think he's going to get dividends, and they go on and win in a particular fixture, and you think good for them, they're going to get to a cup final. But then they go and play Everton, who have come around and had a very difficult time themselves in terms of where they want to be as a club. They are still trying to escape relegation. Not saying that they will be relegated, but no one, and I mean no one saw Everton winning by 3 goals to 2. Now, Tottenham scored 2 goals in the second half, and they almost, but they almost pull it back. But Everton, I mean, scoring 3 goals in a game this season. Who knew that was going to happen? So Spurs, even though I thought they were better than Manchester United, they're not in a better position in the league. Manchester United fans are feeling happy that they are above Tottenham in the league at this moment in time. But Spurs have a reason for being so flip-floppy, roller-coastery. Manchester United have spent shed loads of money. So Spurs fans, do not despair. Do not despair. Even though the return of David Moyes pushed you off the slide and you fell onto the soft surface below, you can get back up. You didn't get beat by Brighton. You didn't almost lose to Southampton. You can still do it. You can still do it. Yeah. Strange. So Spurs, Manchester United, kind of the same seesaw football, up and down roller coaster stuff. I'm wondering what's going to happen for Spurs going forward. A lot of pressure on the manager at the moment from the fans and some pundits about the way that Spurs are playing. You can never say that they never give you a dull game, Spurs. That's for sure. Never give you a dull game. In terms of the rest of the Premier League, Palace win, lovely for them. Their manager, they've been under pressure, so they needed that. West Ham. New manager has they don't have the new manager bounce at the moment, so there's that. Bournemouth smashed the hell out of Newcastle. Who saw that coming? Newcastle at home as well, losing by 4 goals to 1. Bournemouth, another team who play good football and have been able to put it on them, their opponents. And Forest, Nottingham Forest, keeps setting fire to everything that comes in their path. They win again, 3 goals to 2, and good for them. And Fulham winning and beating Leicester. So it's really interesting round of games this weekend. And a nominal mention to Manchester City, who had to win their game. It was Ipswich, and the only thing that I can say about this Manchester City game is that it was Ipswich. That was it. That was it. It was Ipswich, and we'll go from there. Let's move on away from the Premier League. I'm not talking about Marcus Rashford today. He's going to play football somewhere at some point. WSL. Let's talk about that. Some big performances and big wins. Chelsea rampant as usual. 5 goals, I'm sure. Crystal Palace, who I'd mentioned. Some weeks ago, but I saw what I believed that they might escape relegation. They got slapped by Arsenal, and they're sitting pretty rock bottom, and they may be returning to the championship if things don't change for them. I saw aspects of the Liverpool and Brighton game. I have a life. What do you want? Brighton did look really good. And just didn't have the luck despite their efforts in the segment of the game that I saw. And they will feel pretty hard done by to lose that game. Liverpool jubilant. You know what? Whenever I watch women's football, and it's a really cliched thing for me to say, is like, oh, I didn't realise it's going to be such tough tackling. The reality is that it doesn't matter who you are when you play football. You put your boots on and you're all jovial as you make your way to the pitch. But as soon as the whistle blows, game on. It's a different thing, isn't it? It really is. Some brutal challenges. Well, not brutal, but made me wince anyway. Manchester Derby. This is the Manchester red side of Manchester that are happy. Manchester United women win massive against their city rivals. A hat trick in their neighbour's garden for Ella Toone. So happy days for Toone. Manchester City, who were really, or say Manchester City women, who were really playing well in the first segment of the season. Injuries to key players, no Khadija Shaw available, and for me, no Shaw, no hope. That's what basically it is, because they can move the ball around well enough in the middle of the park and from the defensive line forward, but not enough cutting edge for them to be sustained. Manchester City slipped down in the rankings in terms of league table position, and at Manchester United looking good. And their much maligned manager, who is Marmite to some of the fan base, in third, seeing his team going to third place in the league. And imagine the Manchester United going into Europe with a manager they dislike. It's possible. When I mean they, I don't mean the owners. I'm talking about the fans, a certain segment of the fans. There is that. And in terms of the championship, moving away from the WSL, the championship, I saw a result. London City Lionesses, they were playing away against Bristol City, and I thought they're not going to win this game. And they go away and win this game. So please don't tell them I said it. Well, they know now if they listen. I didn't expect that at all, but it's good for them. That win puts them in second place. At the top of the league is Birmingham, who have the squad and they have the experience. They've got a great squad there, winning by 3-1 against Portsmouth, who were bottom of the league and really desperate to get points so that they can make it an interesting second half of the season, so that there's some hope for them. It doesn't look good. Newcastle and Sheffield United draw 1-1. Sunderland win 2-0 away. Who can you believe it? Sunderland winning away. Just, it's amazing. Amazing stuff for them. Charlton winning away against Durham. Never easy fixture at all. So there's that. So really, really good. Fixture to take place next Saturday, I believe. It's Blackburn Rovers versus Sunderland. Why that one didn't take place the recent weekend, who knows? It's food for thought. I'm glad that the Women's League is back in earnest. I do miss that, so I can get a full range of football. My football thirst. I love it, and who wouldn't love it? Apparently, something's happening in another part of the world where some guy's leaving work, and he's got to hand the keys over to another guy, and he's taking over, and he's giving a speech. And it's meant to be a big thing. I'm not sure what it is, but wherever you are, be safe and enjoy your football. And as always, free Palestine, so they say.